It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We're talking Rays baseball today on this Thursday, October 19th, with Bill Chastain, our MLB.com Rays reporter. And Bill, what we're doing today is something that kind of interests me at the end of every baseball regular season. Is I want to look at how much the Rays rotation changed and to what degree between game one and game 162, you know, during the course of any typical season, whether it's through trades or injuries or promotions and demotions, what a staff looks like at game one is often quite different from what that staff looks like as of game 162. So kind of take us down that that path for the Rays. And to what degree did this rotation change between the start of 2017 and the end of it?
Well, mostly any changes were due to injuries. I know Cobb had a little stint, and so did Odorizzi, and so did Snell. I mean, Andrees. So, you know, they were out at different points, and that allowed Jake Faria to get in there some, and Austin Pruitt to pitch a little bit. Of course, Archer, you know, he sticks out there every year and makes every start. You know, he's kind of an iron Byron. But there really wasn't a lot of change, although you can see a lot of change coming probably in the offseason and a lot of candidates maybe who could slip in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at Chris Archer, like you said, this guy is, you know, the workhorse, the mainstay. His numbers between 2016 and 2017 are near mere images of one another. It's actually kind of freaky, except for the wins and losses. He had the 19 losses last year, a lot of that due to just rotten luck. He was still sub 500 this year at 10-12, but the strikeouts were actually up a little bit. He fanned 249 in only 201 innings, but a lot of the numbers, the runs, the home runs, the walks, nearly identical. Even the ERA was nearly the same, 4.02 in 2016, 4.07 here in 2017. How would you assess Archer's season? Did he, you know, would you call it a bounce back year, even though the numbers pretty much remained the same except for the wins and losses? How would you assess it?
You know, I'm asked about him a lot, and he's hard to quantify because he's got such good stuff, but it just really hadn't translated to the numbers that much other than the strikeouts. You know, it's a pretty high ERA, and you know, the wins losses are not good. But again, you know, this is a guy who gives you 200 innings every year, and he starts every time out. So, you know, I don't think it was kind of the, you know, maybe the you know, the uptick you would like to see this past year between last year and when he lost 19 and this year. You know, but you know, he's a solid pitcher, but he's just kind of hard to, you know, categorize.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I know there's some different elements to it. There's the, you know, the element of luck or bad luck as it is sometimes, the element of run support or lack thereof. And as ridiculous as this may sound, does he actually throw too many strikes where he's, you know, the saying goes, you know, wild in the strike zone, which may attribute for all the, you know, the high number of strikeouts, but again, the fairly high number of home runs. He gave up 27 of those. And can a case be made that maybe he is, as they say, you know, wild within the strike zone, so to speak?
Probably, but I, you know, from what I've seen of him, I would like to see the changeup more often. And as that gets better, I think it'll drive how much better he gets, because that kind of keeps him off his slider, which is, you know, one of the best pitches in baseball, and his fastball. So, but a lot of times it seems like he's out there with two pitches, and that seems to, you know, hurt him at times.
Yeah, it certainly does. And you would think that one of these years, the numbers are going to finally reflect the talent, because, again, you see – the 249 Ks and the 4.07 ERA. Those two things really don't compute. It's been a very odd couple of years for Chris Archer, but one thing we do know for sure, he's in his prime. He's got electric stuff, and one of these years, the numbers are certainly going to reflect that. Bill, want to get your thoughts on Alex Cobb and injury-shortened 2016. Only made the 5 starts, really bounced back in 2017. 29 starts, a full season of health, went 12-10, a 3.66 ERA. You know, a guy that doesn't strike out a ton, but he minimizes hard contact, and it seems like that he's really back on track, and he performed the way this year that Rays fans expected him to.
Yeah, and the thing you really like about Cobb is he knows what he's doing out there. He really seems to know what he's doing. And, you know, when he hasn't been injured, he's done really well. So, unfortunately, you know, this is one of those years where the Rays are going to have to decide whether to make him a qualifying offer or watch him, you know, and still they might watch him and see him go, you know, free agency. So I do think there'll be a lot of interest in him on the free agent market. And so given that, I am based on the way the team has done things in the past, I would be pretty surprised if we see him back with the Rays next year.
And would that be because, you know, they've got younger guys who are still developing in Snell and Andries? Would that be the biggest reason why they would cut Cobb loose?
Well, I mean, and it's not exactly cutting him loose, but it, you know, kind of just, I mean, they didn't stick around with Price. They didn't stick around with Shields. And, you know, it's just kind of the way they operate. They just don't want a guy having that big of a chunk of their payroll based on their payroll restrictions. And, you know, you've got some guys coming in. You know, I'll be interested to see what Brent Honeywell does. DeLeon last year was, you know, had an injury shortened year. And then also you got Nathan Eovaldi coming back, who, you know, was rehabbing from Tommy John all year. But the reports at the end of the year was, you know, he was totally healthy and could have actually pitched some in September. So he did pitch in the minor leagues. But, you know, this is a guy who's been a major league starter. So, you know, it's going to be interesting how they decide to play it with their starting rotation.
Yeah, it really will. And as the Rays so often do, year in and year out, they've got the reinforcements on the way up. And that could cause Alex Cobb to be in another uniform sometime in the not-too-distant future. Bill, want to get your thoughts on Jake Odorizzi. He came off a pretty solid 2016. He made 33 starts, a 3.69 ERA. This year, the numbers are down a little bit, nothing alarming. You made 28 starts this year. The ERA up nearly a half run at 4.14. Would you say he's a guy that, in terms of expectations, did he meet expectations? Did he fall short or perhaps exceed them? In what category did he fall?
I would say on paper, he did not meet expectations, but based on the backstory, he was fighting some stuff all year physically and caused his mechanics to change, and I don't think he ever really did get the feel all year. And you know, you like to watch a guy who can go out and, even when he doesn't have his best stuff, battle. And that's what I see from Odorizzi. He did give up a lot of home runs. Of course, a lot of people think the ball was altered this year, but I would say on paper, yes, he took a step back, but I don't think in reality, it was a step back based on the things he was going through.
Now, did that require a DL stint for Odorizzi, or was it more just, you know, nagging aches and pains that he tried to pitch through that wasn't, you know, severe enough to land him on the DL?
He had a brief DL stint, and I'm not exactly sure when it was. If my memory serves me correctly, it might have been around August. He just never could get, you know, once you injure a part of your body or you're aching in a part of your body and you start compensating it by doing things a different way, it's really hard to get back to finding the way that you were doing it to be successful. And, you know, when you're, you know, these starters are, you know, the big thing you hear them preach all the time is repeating their delivery. And if you're not able to do that, it really affects your control and your stuff and the whole gamut.
Yeah, and that's what happened to Odorizzi in 2017. Not a bad year by any means, but like you said, on paper, it seems like he took a slight step back from what he did in 2016. Another Jake that turned some heads for the Rays in 2017, Bill, was Jake Faria. Came on at the end of the year just at the age of 23, his rookie campaign. He made 16 appearances, 14 starts, went 5-4, and 3.43 ERA. What I love about him nearly a K per inning, 86 and two-thirds on the mound, 84 Ks, and it seems like the Rays are pretty high in this guy. Agree?
Yes, totally. And I think he was a little bit ahead of – he arrived a little bit ahead of schedule. The Rays were really impressed with, and you know, when they pointed out, and I consider it myself, I'm saying I am as well, that, you know, this guy, a lot of minor league guys come up and they get their first taste of the major leagues and they're afraid to, you know, they suddenly become a different pitcher and they don't think their stuff's good enough. He was more like, you know, here it is. If you can hit it, hit it, you know, and he had a lot more trust in his stuff than you typically see of a guy coming up from the minor leagues. And he thrived, and I think only good things are ahead for him. He fits in well, he battles well, and he's got decent stuff.
Absolutely. And was he a guy that was, you know, on the radar as a guy that, you know, could make an appearance in 2017 and really perform the way he did? Or was he someone that kind of surprised people to, you know, not only come up at the end of the year, but perform the way that he did?
No, I think he was pretty much on the, you know, on the doorstep waiting, but still might have been a little bit more, you know, and they might have gotten a little more out of him than what they had anticipated. I would say they probably got a lot more out of him than what they were anticipating going into the season.
Yeah, and hopefully something to build
and
on
probably,
for.
And probably a lot of that had to do with the fact that, you know, Snell had his problems.
Right.
And had to go to the minor leagues. So,
right.
He kind of filled that void.
And speaking of Blake Snell, it seems like this is a guy that's, you know, The stuff is there. The stuff has been there. That, you know, he's got the pedigree as someone that could thrive at the big league level. Really hasn't happened yet on a consistent basis. Is patience wearing thin with him? And would you call 2018 a make or break year for Blake Snell?
You know what? I would call it more of a growth year because I do. While they did come in with high expectations, he experienced failure, and I think he kind of was able to rewrite the ship a little bit. And I think going forward, that's, you know, really going to help him, how he dealt with that failure and knowing how he was able to find something towards the latter part of the season.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, as we see a lot of times with young pitchers, a part of the journey to success is failing, and Snell has had that part of the equation. Hopefully he can convert that into a learning experience and success for 2018 and beyond. And Bill, in the minute or so we have left, when you look at, you know, the guys that you've mentioned, the guys that we've gone over, the younger guys in terms of, you know, Honeywell, who could really do some things next year, Faria, Snell, Andrees, if you had to pick one guy from that group that is poised to really break out and assert themselves in this rotation next year, who would you pick?
Well, I've got to feel like Brent Honeywell is going to be up because of the group of Odorizzi, Archer, and Cobb. You know, I don't know how many of those guys will be back. Whether they're traded in the case of Odorizzi or Archer, or if they go free agency, you know, such as Cobb. So there could be some vacancies, and this guy's, you know, done everything on the way up, and he's got great stuff. And they say he's the most competitive guy in the, you know, competitive pitcher in the organization. So I think he's going to get a good chance next year.
Yeah, a lot of eyeballs are going to be on Honeywell in spring training, and we'll see if he is a mainstay in that Rays rotation for next season. Bill Chastain, a pleasure as always. We thank you for the time, and we'll do it again at this time next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Tampa Bay Rays.